I finished my notes. I've got quite a few of them. I'm going to be reading from my notes, so it sounds a little bit stilted, you'll understand. I graduated from public schools in 1945 in what was called a general curriculum, a combination of science and the liberal arts. There was no one in my family who considered going on to college. My father's family in Germany had some professional training, or what would pass as professional training, circa 1900. Two of my father's brothers were teachers and two were architects. I have first cousins in Germany. That one was a teacher, one was an engineer, and the other one was a librarian. But that was not a tradition that came to this country. I convinced myself a college education would make a difference in my life. No one in my family was interested or sympathetic, but my school friends were going on to college. Quite a few of my classmates went on to college. In the late 1940s, I met an alumni of Wisconsin by the name of Ann Andrews, who had recently graduated from Wisconsin. At that time, I felt an urge to see another part of the country, and I enjoyed school. No great desire for a career. My job was fairly satisfying, but I needed distance and my own space. My friend Ann Andrews convinced me I could work my way through college. She never worked and always had a summer vacation free to rest up. Many of her friends were working students at UW, and that proved to be quite true. A lot of students at UW were working students. Aside from the GIs, roughly 75% had, about 75% of the students at Wisconsin were working students, so I had plenty of company. The only reaction I got from the family member was from my mother, who exclaimed when I told her I wanted to go to college, she said, "But, oh, those people get divorced." Well, I did get a degree, and eventually I did get a divorce. I entered UW June of 1948. Not at this time did I, no, at no other time did I consider any other colleges. I sent out just one application to UW, and I never considered going to private colleges. I considered them offhand as being too expensive, probably would not be comfortable there. Nobody at my school in Western Massachusetts went on to Massachusetts College, which was what it was called in that time. It was strictly an ag school. I had one friend who went to the state university. My hometown, Pittsfield, was an engineering town, so that shouldn't be too unusual that there were so few people interested in the ag school. State universities in the Northeast do not and still do not have a place in the educational fabric that exists in the Midwest. After World War II, many local veterans went to Midwestern universities for engineering. Purdue University was especially popular. Midwestern universities had a good reputation, but unless you attended one of these universities, you never know how truly great they are. UW at that time was not singled out, as I remember, as being of any greater interest except for the advice of my friend, and that's the reason why I went there. My parents contributed no money to my education. I had about $300 when I left Pittsfield. This was for money that I had been deducted from my pay. It might have been from a retirement fund, I don't quite remember. I had the usual money gifts at Christmas. My oldest sister sent me checks throughout my college career, but this was not money that was particularly significant. I had a meal job at Langdon Hall, which took care of all my meals, and a small amount of cash. I probably took $10 a week. This job I held for my entire time that I was at Madison. I also worked about 15 hours in various part-time jobs, filing clerk at Northwestern Mutual Insurance, minimum wage, electrical engineering lab, minimum wage, nurse's aide, minimum wage, sales clerks, additional, and I worked as a sales clerk. On top of everything else at Christmas time, I was a hat check girl at Edgewater Hotel. That was better than minimum wage. Library assistants. The jobs were numerous and sometimes overlapping, especially at Christmas. I spent many vacations in Madison and I could pick up extra money there. I spent one vacation in Milwaukee working for the American TV Association. That was the end of the drive for funds. It was Christmas time. And when I, at age 11, I started babysitting for neighbors and always had some money. The wages were considerably better than minimum wage. During the war years, I worked for two summers at General Electric Company, and that was, the pay there was very good. I worked as a waitress at Homewood, Illinois, at a Gravisville Country Club. I might bring home something like $500 if I was lucky. Room and board, of course, at waitressing summer jobs was included. I worked one summer at a girls' camp in Monaco, Wisconsin. That included room and board and a salary. I could not afford to go home for summer vacations. I did go home in 1950, was in Martha's Vineyard in Cape Cod, made too little money to go back to UW. Spent the year working as a wool comber at Elmvale Worsted in Pittsfield. Went back to UW in the fall of 1951. Took up my meal jobs and part-time jobs. I am convinced I spent more time and energy working my way through college than I did in my schoolwork. When I was there, I had a decent grade average and didn't owe anybody a dime. I do not envy today's students with their loans and heavy debts. No way. Mrs. Catherine Dahl of Madison, Wisconsin, wife of now federal judge John Doyle, was a Wisconsin state representative. She gave me her athletic scholarship for 2 years and a Mr. Landowski of Milwaukee for 1 year. That was a great help because it deferred out-of-state tuition expenses. I wonder if this kind of, they were called legislative scholarships, I wonder if they still exist. None of the above jobs was related to my field of study, art, but I do like production jobs and people-oriented jobs. No office work for me. I lived at Lake Lawn House, a small private home up with about 17 girls. I arrived in Madison on a hot day, coming from the Northeast. I was not accustomed to the hot, humid weather of Madison. I was wearing a lightweight wool suit. After visiting the Housing Bureau, I found Jordan House. It was the only house I can remember visiting. The reason I liked the place, really goes back to Pittsfield. My friend Ann Andrews, who's an alumna at UW, remember, told me lots of stories about UW, especially the Hoopers. There was Midge and Putz and Mickey and Knute and the Haas brothers and so on and so forth. When I arrived at Jordan House, Mrs. Jordan introduced me to one of her boarders, another Yankee from Massachusetts, Mickey Wellington from the Boston area. She was a Hooper and friend of Ann Andrews. After I was settled in, she took me down to the Hooper's headquarters and she introduced me to the Hooper tribe. There was Midge and Putz and Knute and the Haas brothers and all the assorted crowds. So I had an instant family. That summer at Hooper's was great. I discovered sailing, had numerous picnics in the quarries. Are they still there? And generally had a golden summer. When fall rolled around, I couldn't carry that my work schedule and classes and Hooper's. Regretfully, Hooper's had to go, but it was one of the best summers ever. I was about 19 when I arrived in Madison, and I considered myself to be old, so house rules didn't set up too well with me. Mrs. Jordan, along with her husband, was in charge. They owned the building. All the students were working students, so we didn't have much time to spend together. Everything about the house was comfortable and very quiet. We did have some sort of a student board, but not much to do. I think we had some sort of an Xmas party. Arrangements of our lives was not conducive to activities. There was no problems that comes to mind. No food was not included. My lifelong interest was in art, so I was in the Applied Arts School and the School of Education, College of Education. I don't remember when I wasn't drawing something, ferns with roses on them, or my favorite subject as a toddler. I am still drawing, painting, and I am very much involved with botanical projects. I am sure my interest in the green world stems from the influence of my parents and the very lovely natural world around me, the Berkshire Hills of Western Massachusetts. My minor became landscape architecture. In 1972, I picked up a BS in landscape architecture at Texas A&M. And now, in 1994, I'm still working at it, and art. I volunteer at the Botanical Center here in San Antonio and the County Extension Service. I'm involved with the three art groups. In art, Dean Meeker, my advisor, stands out. I admire him as a person and as an artist. Harvey Littleton, the potter, became a friend. James Waters taught probably the best class related to art called Techniques of the Old Masters. Wish I could take that class again. There was also a woman, a Viennese, I believe, who taught relaxation in the physical education department. Along with Curdy's class in American Intellectual Thought and History, I guess I've drawn on the discipline relaxation course I have probably used as much as any course that I can think of. I think that the relaxation course was a requirement for everybody taking PE, and a darn good one. I seem to have taken quite a few courses in history. You remember there was a Mr. Heselton there. He was worth forgetting. He was a rather pompous old fool. Of course, there were classes in landscape history, very enjoyable. Art history courses, of course, there are several there. It is hard to say I enjoyed classes or instructors simply because class sizes were so large. Herb Gutman, one of Curtie's TAs, really stands out, though, in every way. I could relate to him, his humanity, his vulnerability, his intensity. Mr. Curtie's class must be my favorite one. I think can draw on that class a great deal. TAs were great because you could get to know them as people, and they really became very good friends. I was always impressed that Mr. Curtie always had the very best teaching assistants. I never got to meet Mr. Curtie. Remember, we had his school. He was on that podium in that auditorium. There were something like 500 students. I don't think I ever spoke to him. Curtie's class certainly stands out. There are a few good stories relating to his class that I still think about now and then. And one of them was, in those days, there was a seating chart in the auditorium of 500 students, which we all agree must be quite ridiculous, which was posted on the door. A week or so into the class, the seating chart disappeared, only to have a fresh copy properly reappear. And probably disappeared. I guess there was one more try at the appearing disappearing act, but all attempts at a cheat seating chart for us students failed, and the idea was abandoned. This, as I remember, was one giant step toward adulthood. The administration got the point. Another story: a protest from a Ford scholar, a very irate Ford scholar, Max, I think was his name. This happened after a major exam, and at the very next lecture after the exam, Max stood up in front of the whole class and protested vigorously. the format of the exam. Apparently, he had studied for a different kind of an exam and got a poor grade. Maybe a written exam rather than a true or false. I don't remember. Anyway, Max stood up and denounced the whole business to Mr. Kirby and the class. And all of this made its way into Chicago newspapers. Next lecture. Curdy's turn now. Mr. Curdy chastised the class, stating, "What happens in the classroom stays in the classroom." That is so old-fashioned. I have no idea who leaked it to the press. I've always thought that that time and over, well, now I'm repeating myself. I always thought at that time and over the years, Mr. Curdy had the best TA simply because he was the best or most interesting professor on campus. As a student, I never could afford the book. I tell myself I'm going to get it someday. Hint, hint. Another story, which I do believe is true, and when it became apparent that the football coach made more money than any other academic professor, the powers that be rectified that situation. Mr. Curdy's salary, and I believe Dr. Ray Herb, of the physics department, their salaries were raised sufficiently so that Wisconsin could boast that the academic professors were properly esteemed. But imagine, just two professors. As a personal aside, as I stated, I came from Western Massachusetts, home of Tanglewood, and the summer home of the Boston Symphony. Residents in the county are permitted to rent rooms, temporary rentals, and with a permit to visit visitors for the season. My mother had as rental guests Martha Curdy and friend. My mother liked to pamper her guests, and she always had homemade pie for them when they came in the evening. Months later, as I was having breakfast with friends sitting at Langdon Hall, where I worked as a waitress, one of the girls was relating an experience of her friend, happened to be Martha Curdy, who had stayed with a family in Western Massachusetts, and how delightful Martha was to have this woman who always had some dessert waiting for them in their rooms when they came in at night. Well, the chills went up my spine when I realized she was talking about my mother. Here I was, 2,000 miles away from home, and this was the first time I heard of any of this. My mother was a Swiss, and she must have loved having Martha in the house. I have never met any of the Curdy family. Quality of instruction was good. At the art school at that time was in a state of transition as in upgrading the standards. In some ways, as I look back, I know I was dissatisfied a great deal with the lack of instruction regarding techniques. Modern theories of art did not interest me as much as how did the painters paint? How did they get the results? James Watrous' course in techniques was the only course that dealt with techniques. We sat down to a piece of paper and told to do our thing. But I figured I can do that at home better and all by myself. We were never given the tools. Every day, even today, I hear young ladies complaining the same things. No tools, no techniques. I am now finding women of my age and younger who are intensely interested in hows and whys of painting the image and painting on a surface. Putting the image and paint on a surface. I do believe that a woman looks and feels about education much differently than a man. I always felt my artist instructors had a chip on their shoulders. It was like, I had to learn the hard way, and so will you, so will you. There were several WPA artists on staff, and very good too. Alfred Sessler, I believe, was one of them, a very beautiful man. I think the question of educators as male versus females would be an interesting topic, as seen from the student's point of view. Clubs and organizations. I did spend a great deal of time at Hopus, as I mentioned, the first summer at UW, because I started in summer school. There was a dream summer, lots of picnics, much sailing, and some dancing. I don't know if I stress this fact, but I consider myself an older student. I think I was 19 and a half, but the nicest thing of all was a larger population of the GIs. I never felt out of place. UW was, and I'm sure still is, now a place where everyone can find his niche. I certainly felt more than comfortable in the company of the mature and energetic people. At the end of the summer, I made the decision that I could not major in working my way through college and for first or any organization. So by the time fall came around, I kissed all those good times goodbye, and they were absolutely great times, and I returned to work. Didn't like it much, but I am a pragmatist. Also, my Swiss and German background laid the foundation for prioritizing my efforts. I was elected to a professional arts society. Maine doesn't come to be, but I foolishly ignored this invitation. I am basically not a joiner, although I certainly joined and volunteered and contributed much of my efforts to various organizations over the years. I do believe I have a certain forget that. It doesn't matter. Yes, I did. I read the Daily Cardinal. This is category 7. Yes, I read the Daily Cardinal. It was the kind of publication I enjoyed and certainly encouraged their activity. Remember these were the McCarthy days, and I was highly politicized. My first campaign was Landon and Knox in 1936, when I was about 10 years old. And I campaigned for every Republican until I went to the University of Wisconsin and took Curtis' course, among others, and learned how to read. Beware Barbara Bush. When I learned how to read, I became a Democrat. Yes, Virginia, there is a wonderful world beyond the Republican Party. Many of my friends were associated with the Daily Cardinals, really secondhand friends. They were friends of friends. Mort Levine comes to mind. There were one or two artists who were cartoonists who were in my drawing classes, pretty good ones at that. I must have driven the powers that be, probably just like here. When asked what my organization I belong to, I usually put down Rathskiller. Was the one I really enjoyed. I used to think I was not living up to professional expectations, but let's face it, I needed, considering the fact I worked 3 to 40 hours a week, I needed an open forum with people who I felt very comfortable with. I grew up in a neighborhood that I called the UN. It was like the UN, and it was great, as wonderful and as open as the countryside around us. And that is the kind of picture I have of the UW. Category 8. I have addressed this question above, but when you talk about planned leisure, there is some differences. Previously, I talked about the leisure past previously, I was talking about living leisure the past. No, let's scratch this one. As a working student, I didn't know or could not spend much time even thinking about leisure. Well, among some of the popular places when I did get out, did have some freedom, was a chocolate house in State Street, which I don't believe is there, and after hours for donuts, the Blue Moon Cafe, which was a hangout. One of my days, particularly discovered that when you went to movies after the live show started, you could get in free. Well, we did this a few times. There was an Italian village in State Street. Play Circle was very popular. The movies were great, and that's one thing I do miss. The Union had many things going on, but I think Play Circle was probably the one I enjoyed the most. Didn't do a whole lot of dating because I didn't feel very comfortable even as a teenager. The dating game was just not much fun. And I, even at this age, I still don't, I don't know, it always seems so very awkward. No, I was not into sports. As I mentioned before, I did spend a great deal of my time at the Union in between classes. It was certainly my home away from home. But mostly for conversation. The Rathskeller, I visited with many conversations, especially the Rathskeller. I visited many of the campus houses of all different faiths, Jewish ones, Catholic ones, many Protestants, Lutherans. And I occasionally did attend church. No, that was not really much difference from my pre-campus days. I was intensely interested in politics. These were as I said before, these were the days of McCarthyism. I do remember meeting him in the student union. He was coming up the stairs to Great Hall as I was going down. I went up to see how many people were attending his speech. I was happy to see that not many people were there. Well, we said hi. I was very surprised to see that he was such a handsome man. He had that kind of magnetism that doesn't come across on camera. The campus was very liberal and very anti-McCarthy. I read the New Republic, the Reporter. I followed the student campaign, and after graduation, I spent many hours at his headquarters down from the state capitol. James Doyle, now the federal judge, was one of his staunchest supporters. He ran Stevenson's office. His wife, Catherine, was a state congresswoman. All of our friends were active in politics, the national kind. After Eisenhower won, it was a surprise to me to see how many Republicans there were on campus. They literally came out of the woodwork. I don't know how you are, if you remember anything of that time, but it was scary. Great. You pretty much had to be sure of who you were talking to before you openly admitted to being a Democrat. Fear of communism infiltrating campus clubs was very, very high. I can't imagine a time where Boshus was so involved. Yes, there certainly was a great deal of debate going on. Drugs were there, but only a few that I knew of. I personally did not know anyone who was on drugs. I think peyote was talked about. It was certainly not very open. Alcohol and tobacco, of course, was everywhere. Beer on campus, that was new. Since alcohol and tobacco were used in my own home, I had no real objections. It was curious, whenever I was invited home with a friend for a vacation, I was usually told that mother was temperance. And that was a new expression. I never heard that from the East Coast at all. I didn't know of any family in the East Coast that didn't offer the guests a drink. Sexual revolution, there certainly were a few who practiced sex that was not openly talked about. But remember, a very large population on campus were older people, the GIs, and had done a lot of living before they got to campus. I had no illusions about their sexual experiences, but it was not an option for me. Number 9. Do you remember the Goodbye Harry clubs? That was my introduction to college sports. It was my first football game at Camp Randall, was UW against Yale University. And that was my very last. Harry was Harry Stuever of Newt Rockne fame and hadn't had a good season in quite a while. The fans, mostly from the engineering school, I believe, would sit in the stands and sing, "Goodbye, Harry, goodbye, Harry, goodbye, Harry, we're glad to see you go." Well, a fight broke out, and the football players were running up into their stands and clobbering their own fans. Boy, was I shocked. "Never again," says I. But I did enjoy basketball. I worked with the varsity football players in my meal job, and I was really enjoying the guys. The girls were the waitresses, and the boys were bus boys. our dishwashers. There was some resentment on the part of the non-athletes who also worked for their meals. Their jobs were more or less guaranteed. These jobs were more or less guaranteed for the athletes. This dining hall was at Langdon Hall, privately owned, but there were close connections to the athletic department. That I'm sure of. When the athletes were on the road, the non-athletes filled in for them. These guys had some resentment because they suspected them that they did not have, they suspected, and I'm sure rightly so, they did not have top priorities for these jobs. I had a legislative scholarship. Do these scholarships still exist? They were established for the purpose of attracting out-of-state athletes. This was told to me by a congressman, state congressman, I think his name was Nichols, and I believe he was also Speaker of the House. Of course, not all congressmen went along with this idea. Each was given a scholarship to be given to an out-of-state student. Catherine Doyle, congresswoman from Madison and wife of federal judge James Doyle or John Doyle, I don't remember, gave me hers for 2 years. That helped a lot. Behavior among the students on campus and the athletics was certainly okay, except for the Goodbye Harry clubs. I have a lot to say about the college athletics, but I'm not going to take up your time or tape. I cannot remember any discrimination directed toward me personally, but there certainly was a great deal of offense toward blacks and towards Jews. Well, one of the obvious differences between the men and the women, the women were required to live in approved housing and the men weren't. I knew a few blacks on campus, one who worked as a waitress in Tripp Commons and was a good, very good friend of one of my roommates. I had no idea where she lived and I never even thought to ask. There was another young lady there, her name was Mary Hinkson, who went on to fame in modern dance. She was a star even then in Madison as a student. And she always starred in the modern dance department's shows. Again, I have no idea where she lived. Remember, women had to live in approved housing. There was a co-op that welcomed blacks. Of course, men had the freedom to live anywhere they wanted to, Lorraine Hansberry was a student at UW at about the time that I was there, and she lived in a private dorm called Lincoln something, which was across the street from Langdon Hall, and I never met her. But there were Jewish dormitories for the girls, Jewish girls, and I do remember that there was a sorority that I do not remember a sorority that we would have called predominantly Jewish. There was a Jewish fraternity, and there was some ugliness there, like burning bonfires on the lawns in front of the house. I used to visit the Hillel Student Foundation with Jewish friends, but I don't ever remember any discussion of discrimination. The last year at UW, all of the undergrad dorms were compelled to admit the blacks. Owners of my house ceased renting to undergraduates and instead took in only graduate students, thereby avoiding the problem entirely. Bob Teague was an athlete and he was football, and he did run for campus office. I think he went on to do newscasting in the Midwest. The Rapscallion, of course, was a good place to meet students of all races and colors, and I enjoyed that. And since the Rapscallion and the Union was so popular, I will have to assume that the commingling of the whites and the blacks was looked upon fairly favorably. President Fred made it a point to attract out-of-state students and foreign students. He was pleased that UW ranked first in the country on that score. Students at Madison seem to take all of this in stride, and I'm thoroughly thankful for that. And thoroughly thankful for Mr. Fred. I do remember working for a woman who vowed she would never send her children to a UW because of its liberalism, i.e. communism. I admit now I was not aware, if I had been aware of the strength of the humanistic philosophy. I might have had second thoughts about attending the UW. But that's in hindsight. I really feel that students, as unprepared as I was, ought to have some kind of background or information that gives them some idea what the university stands for. Most young people, unless they have adult guidance, are just not going to be able to pick that up very fast. I can't imagine emphasize enough about the terror of McCarthyism in my mind and in my heart. I am not going to go through all of that, not now. The gay lesbian area was not a serious problem. One of the best things about UW was and is, I'm sure, everybody could find their own niche. There was no student hierarchy. I love living in neighborhoods and apartment complexes that resemble, as I said before, the UN and the University of Wisconsin certainly had that the atmosphere of being in a very great form. I'm sure that all of the above groups suffered in one way or another. When I was at the UW, people were merely oddities to me. I kind of grew up on the periphery of these groups, but once I got to know them, I felt comfortable being around them. Category 11. Campus personalities. The Dean of Women was Mrs. Troxler. I felt from the start that the position of Dean of Women and student counselors, as I'm referring to as academic counselors, or even the psychological counselors, were next to meaningless. Their positions were next to meaningless. Their jobs. It did just seem pointless. I don't ever remember Mrs. Troxler doing anything of any great import. I know that the academic counselors were a disaster. The psychological counselors, whenever I would go to a psychological, they were weak. They were kind of like wimps, really. They didn't seem to have, I don't know what they were afraid of. I tell everyone, student, that is students in academia, be your own counselor. I was a working student with 100% paid all of my expenses, and I have no regret about that. But the quality of counseling was dirt poor. Even today, I find students who are really screwed up because student counselors did not know or care about the requirements for graduation, no, not even their own departments. President Frank, I admired. I think he taught an introductory course for freshmen. Firstly, I admired him and his wife because he lived in the Ag Dean's home on campus. He had been the Ag Dean previously. And that house is pretty old-fashioned kind of a place, not formal as the president's home was in University Heights. I believe he, one of the things I liked about President Fred, he was an academic person himself. I believe he was a renowned bacteriologist. As you may have guessed, I liked scholars. One of my roommates was a bacteriologist, and I certainly felt a great affinity toward him, which made me feel a great affinity toward Mr. Fred as a professional. President Fred, overall, was very well respected. There was a dean. Was his name Elvium, dean of the graduate school? And I think the art museum is now named after him. It's for some very peculiar reasons, registrations. And when I needed approval from the dean of my college, my college happened to be education, I would invariably end up in the South Hall thinking that he was my dean, but he was the dean of the graduate school. That man was so patient. He didn't have much hair, and I know why. Some of the students coming in for counseling were absolutely exhausting. And I think, unfortunately, he died too young. Since I worked about 40 hours a week, I've always thought that people I worked with were of more importance to me than the academic body. So much depended on my relationships with them. There aren't any that stand out, not worth mentioning. Category 12. I never had career goals except to be a wife and a mother. I chose to go to school because I always have enjoyed it. Foolishly, I never seriously considered a career out of the home. Art and landscape architecture were always my interest. I was then and am now much involved in these two areas, but no profession, not much materialized there. But I do feel good about work I do as a volunteer, church work, county extension service, and the botanical gardens, and my art classes, and all the friends that I have made. I think now in retirement, I am realizing some recognition, and I believe I am experiencing a very rich and rewarding life. Art education, I still feel, is too narrow and shallow. Art as a career outside of education was never addressed. On the whole, what I really enjoyed about UW was the level of competition. It was excellent, and that is how I judge an institution. There was plenty of competition at Wisconsin, and I am very proud that I made it at UW as an out-of-state student. There are stricter requirements there at an internationally famous academic university. You know the feeling. Would I ever tell anybody I attend the University of Wisconsin, I can just feel automatically that I'm being looked at with a greater esteem. Smartest thing I ever did was go to UW-Wisconsin. Thank you.